right, welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com here every night until 7, well, until 10 o'clock.
Until 7, I don't know where I got that.
10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And with me, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard. And we have later on in the program, Vernon Dozier joining us from Belmar Academy, Kurt Quitty and Guy Barton from the state capitol in West Virginia on the Obamacare party, and other news that we want to report on, including we have a treat for you because it's Halloween-y.
Well, not Halloween-y. Or is that the name of the promotion?
Yeah, it's the name of the promotion. Don't interrupt.
For once, Bud's right, Margaret, if you let me get it out.
If you get what out? You're saying Halloween-y and you want to pull something out, so...
Not all dirty, you know.
What are you going to make everything so filthy?
I didn't make it filthy. I'm trying to keep the show in check. Never mind.
Yeah, thank you. As I was saying, we have a Halloween treat, and Halloween-y, I don't know who wrote it, but it sounds like it doesn't mean what you think it means, you know.
Don't think about whipping out.
I didn't say anything about whipping anything out, okay? Every single show, it's the same thing.
Phil, you're the one that told me that you had to keep it clean in order to induce a newer early evening audience to stay with the program.
Well, all that stuff about keeping it clean, we've never done a dirty show. We don't intentionally do filth, you know, but it doesn't make any difference. I mean, people are going to hear what they're going to hear. However, the radio industry being in such a mess and in so need of so much, and one of the things it needs is content, and I mean actual, you know, entertaining content, I don't really give a damn, you know. However, in keeping with the theory of, you know, in keeping with the overall theory and operation of this program, which is that we want to entertain and not necessarily shock, we will try to keep it as clean as we possibly can. So as I say, let's whip out Halloween-y.
Oh, okay. So that's a jab at me.
No, it's not a jab at you. It's stick around because we have a special offer for you guys who are not Backstage Pass members, who do not have VSPs, who are not members of our subscription base, who do not have access to close to 5,000 hours of full radio shows going back over 15 years, who do not have access to our video archives and so on and so forth. And when we talk about full radio shows going back over 15 years, these are not talk shows, folks. This is what we engage in here, what we attempt to engage in, and what we attempt to achieve here is a show of mirth and humor and frivolity and fun, a level of satire that we hope is at a higher elevation.
Where the air's thinner.
Sure, where the air's thinner.
Well, that doesn't mean anyone's breathing all that easy, but...
Yeah, but if you're laughing, you're not breathing all that easy. So in any event, join us at philhenryshow.com, and that whole promo has just got butchered beyond recognition. Thank you very much. Margaret, okay.
No, that's not me. Listen, I want to jump in because I think before we have Vernon Dozier on, I wanted to mention to people there is a very lovely song, and Bud, on cut four...
Okay, what is it?
Cut four, she just said.
Cut four. Segment two. All right, sector three.
What are you asking him to do?
I want the song Stubborn Love by the Lumineers before I start tearing someone apart.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, this one you mean. This is the one here.
Well, I don't... Yes. This is a very beautiful song. It's called Stubborn Love, Phil. Now, do you recognize this song? Let's play it.
I don't recognize it yet.
Just be quiet, would you? What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you.
No, it's... Wait, just hold... Bud, I'm not interested in whether you recognize it.
I don't recognize it either.
And I'm not interested in whether you recognize it.
She'll lie and steal, and she...
Oh, I know this song.
Yes. And where do you hear it? Where do you know it from?
Well, hold on. Let me just hear a little bit more.
Make you think she needs...
Oh, this song is...
It's a song called Stubborn Love by the Lumineers.
What's it called?
The one you
It's called
say.
Stubborn Love by the Lumineers.
But I still love her.
Can I stop the music? Stop the music. Stop the music. I'm going to kick... Hey! Kick his ass if he opens his mouth one more time. I swear to God, I'll shove this fist as far into it as I can get it.
That sounds almost interesting. Ow!
I mean it.
All right, let's just play... Okay, so where are we at here?
Who knows? This is a song called Stubborn Love by the Lumineers. Do you recognize it or do you not?
When we were young.
Oh, I know this is a song. Aha, this is a song from a commercial.
Yes, it is a song from a commercial.
I can't be told.
It's from that, is it from Willow?
It's from Willow.com, I believe.
It's better to feel.
Yeah, the guy's, hey.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's the one the guy can't sing. Hey.
He doesn't sing like that, you clod. He sings very lovely. It's a very rustic way of singing.
No, it's a kind of a folksy singing, yeah.
I'm standing on your
front. Now, this song, Phil, the reason why I'm bringing this up...
Yeah, this guy goes, hey, hey, doesn't he do that?
Kill the music, kill the music, kill the music. I'm gonna...
Hey, hold on, Margaret.
Would you tell him...
Bud, don't go screeching like an animal in the middle of this bit, okay?
Isn't that the song where the guy goes, hey, hey,
yeah, it does, man, but nobody cares. No one's asking you.
Thank you, Robert, very much. I'm about ready to come out of my girdle.
Well,
don't
say it.
Please hit the music again.
So keep your head up.
Yeah, so this is a song from that commercial.
Exactly. It's a lovely song. The Lumineers are a group. As you can tell, Phil, they are a band that owes a lot. They have borrowed a lot from and lend a lot to. Here you go.
Yeah, yeah, this is a song from that commercial, yeah.
Yeah, they borrow a lot from the folk traditions.
Now, where are they from?
I have no idea.
What, are they a folk band?
I don't, they sound as if they are, but I don't know anything about them. But I think, I don't need to know anything about them. I can tell that they are artists of integrity. And I can tell that they are artists of great talent and great skill, great poetic vision, and for them to sell their music to a... All right, kill it, bud. Kill it. Would you kill it, please? It's not that great. The...
Why would you say that?
Well, I like the song, but it's not so wonderful that I've got to listen to it banging through my ear while I'm trying to get my point made. Now,
Do you think this is a skilled band?
I already told you that I have great admiration for the Lumineers.
What's that mean, anyway, Lumineers?
I don't know.
Okay, so you don't know what kind of band they are?
Phil, I don't need to know. I do know. I don't need you or anyone to tell me. I know these are artists. Their music is absolutely magical.
Yeah, except you just told him to turn it down because you didn't want to hear it banging in your ear while you're trying to get something said.
Yeah, the music is magical, but it's not that great. It irritates me after a while. The point I'm trying to... Phil, don't try to back me into a corner, because so help me Christ, I'll come out like a cornered rat. I will come out... You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah, a rat will eat stuff.
There you go. Good boy. Hey.
Okay. Hold on, will you?
What is with you?
Hold on, will you? We got to take a break. Margaret Gray is talking about the Lumineers, their song Stubborn Love. It is a beautiful song. I love it. And it's a song that is being currently used for commercial purposes and a commercial campaign for some commercial... there you go. We'll find out what the problem is, right?
All right, well, don't make it all about, you know, Margaret's what a pain in the ass she is.
I didn't say that, but, you know, we've got other things we want to get to. So we'll be back. We'll talk about that. And more. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and philhenryshow.com. Sorry, kind of upcuffed that, kind of jumped that, jumped the gun there, jumped the gun, sorry. Jumped the gun there, bud.
Can't blame me, you're the one that did it.
Yeah, that, you know, I should quit blaming Bud for that. World famous Phil Henry Show, welcome to the show. I'm the guy that runs the bumper music around here, Bud does, and I jumped the gun there, and I apologize to Matt in our control room. Because I was actually looking for a couple of examples of songs that have been dealt with or have been used commercially. And Matt actually pointed out a few to me, two that have been used commercially of recent note by a band called Vampire Weekend.
What has this got to do with the Lumineers? I don't understand this.
Well, we're just, I mean, these are songs, for instance, here's a song that was used, I think, by, I think Matt said, like a vacation company or something.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, I recognize this song. It's from Jamaica.
No, it ain't from Jamaica. It's a band sounding like they're doing reggae, you know?
Yeah, so.
Well, a car company, it's a car company that used this.
I don't get it. It sounds pretty far out to me.
Well, what sounds far out about that as opposed to any other song that's used, you know?
What's the name of this group?
Vampire Weekend.
And what's the song called?
Holiday.
And what's it for?
A car company.
What's the name of the car company?
I have no idea.
Well, I might want to rent a car from them.
Get out of here with that, okay?
I don't know. I'm telling you, the Lumineers, Phil. The Lumineers, the Lumineers. Now, that's all I care about. That's all I'm talking about. And that's all I really give a sweet you-know-what about.
A crap?
Did I say crap? You all are also jumpy when it comes to toilet habits around here.
All right, so you only care about the Lumineers, and that is what we will talk about. Now, Margaret, I guess the larger question, or so I suppose the larger topic, is the use of music for commercial purposes. And may I be allowed an opinion here?
Yes, but if you could hurry it up.
Yeah, hurry it up, Miss Henry, because Margaret...
Yeah, okay, I'll hurry it up. Don't worry about it.
Don't get all personal about it and everything.
I'm not getting personal. I'm just...
Well, I can tell your feelings are hurt.
Yeah, your feelings are a little bit hurt.
Okay, my feelings are hurt. No, they're not hurt. I'm just... I don't like to be rushed when I'm trying to say something. The fact is, it's my show, so I'll take as long as I want. How does that sound to you?
Oh, okay. So that's how it is.
Yeah, that's how it is. If I may be allowed, the idea of a popular song, a song that was written by an artist, say, for the commercial enjoyment of the audience, not necessarily to support a product, not necessarily to support any kind of a commercial enterprise, the song itself resonates a certain way with the listener. While I believe it was the great French singer Charles Aznavour who once said that...
Mr. Hall is on the phone.
Mr. Hall is on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, David.
What is this Charles Aznavour? What's he doing?
Yeah, David, he's starting to sound like he thinks he's the guy on PBS, Jim... You know the guy?
No, I don't know the guy, but I don't know what you're Charles Aznavour. You know, I believe it was Charles Aznavour, whoever that guy was.
I was quoting a famous French singer.
Yeah, but it's sounding too highfalutin and intellectual, okay? Just tell the story without all these quotes from some French gay.
All right.
Why did you hang up on him?
Because he doesn't know a thing about Charles Aznavour, and I'm going to sit there and tell him. Charles Aznavour is a singer and a songwriter. He's from France, and he said there are three authors of a song, but I won't get into it right now because I don't want to bother everybody with a whole lot of particulars.
Well, maybe I want to hear about it.
Well, you don't get to hear about it now. So in any event, you're talking about a song that was written by a group and was sold to a commercial enterprise so that they might promote their product. Am I correct in making that assumption, Miss Gray?
Yes, you are, Phil. I'm not trying to start an argument.
Well, you've done your level best. So, insofar as that is the topic, you bring up Exhibit A.
You're doing really good, but you're going,
Hey, bud, since when did I hire you as the miracle worker here to help me see, hear, and feel, man? Do I look like Helen Keller?
Well,
do I look like Helen Keller?
No, man, she was a girl.
Yeah, she was a girl.
Other than that?
No.
No.
Then I don't need you going, correcting me, okay? I think I know how to speak, and I know how to talk and walk and dress myself, and yes, even wipe myself.
All right.
So here we have this very lovely song by the Lumineers, and it is a very lovely song, called Forbidden Love, or what?
No, it's called Stubborn Forbidden Love. Good Christ.
Yeah, you didn't make it sound dirty.
I didn't make it sound dirty. What's the name of it?
It's called Stubborn Love.
It's filthy enough with a title like that.
All right, so Stubborn Love, why is that filthy?
Well, I don't think it takes a wild imagination. Stubborn Love?
Yeah, it's difficult to...
I don't know what you're talking about. I think I know where you're going, and I don't get it. So Stubborn Love was written by the Lumineers, and it was immediately sold to a company, and we all believe this to be the company that represents the interests of the website Willow. Am I right about that?
Yes, and I believe that Willow, or something like that, is a a real estate website. So here we have the rather garish effort of real estate, that is land, that is the appropriation of land in some instances. As you know, Phil, with this terrible, terrible economy that we've just been through, people being pitched into the dirt on the street from the home that they lived in. Well, I'm not finished yet. I'm not finished. The image of people being pushed out into the street in full view of their neighbors, their home being taken over by some money-grubbing, yuppie couple, two people, no children, 15 rooms, 8,000 square feet, and what are these two scum going to do with that home? Well, they'll sit in it until they're bored, and that'll take about 3 months. And meanwhile, what's happening? Could I have the music, please?
All right.
Thank you. And meanwhile, what's happening? Well, the family that was thrown into the street, right in the path of possibly a truck, maybe they lost their youngest to the truck being driven by some scum who is the moving van company. You know what the, what is it called?
The moving van company.
The moving van company?
That's what you called it.
Well, in any event, maybe their child was crushed by the large front...
Lion stealing sheep.
Okay, I get it, Margaret.
No, I don't think you do.
Beg you from a...
Well...
Would you please have the respect? Listen. Listen to the song. Listen to the words.
Make you think she needs it.
Listen to the words.
Okay.
She'll tear a hole in you.
Right. Who's she?
The one you can't repair.
Kill the music. Kill the, kill the music. Kill the music. Will you, for God's sake, Bud? What are you, a gloid? Kill it. What did you want?
He says she'll tear a hole in you. What's, is that the real estate company?
So, you're trying to piss me off, is that it?
Margaret, I don't know what you're talking about anymore, okay? I thought we were on here to talk about this group.
This group sold out. That's what I'm trying to say. They sold out to this large enterprise, and I'm trying to say to other groups, to other musicians, to other people that have the same instinct, please don't do it. God, don't do it.
But I still love her. I don't.
Well, I'm going to quote, and I did this during the pre-show, I'm going to quote Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Can we think of a band from this century? Is that all right?
No, I'm going to have to go to the other century. Graham Nash of Crosby, Stills, and Nash said, when he sold the rights to Our House, which was a very, very popular Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, he said, and I quoted this during the pre-show, he said, I just paid for my kids' college education. So he had no problem selling the rights to that song. And guys like the members of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, or the members of the Lumineers, other bands, they have children, they have families, they have futures to plan for, and if they want to sell the music, it's their right.
Yeah!
Standing on your porch, screaming out.
Well, that's not fair. You just...
You did! Well, you was trying to get down.
That's right.
Turn the music down. Turn it down.
No, I will not turn it down. Bill won.
All right, we'll turn it down. Go ahead, Margaret. You have the last word.
Well, I feel that I have been manhandled. I've been spread across the hood of a car, face down, my skirt.
Thank you very much, Margaret.
So you've cut me off.
Yes, I have. I've cut you off. It's a very lovely song, but I'm telling you, turn it down, Bud, okay? I don't want to... It's not that I don't like the song. It's that I, you know, I've heard it, okay?
Well, you like me, you're Miss Gray.
I think it's okay. It's not the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Well, there you are talking about what a brilliant band it is and how fantastic they are and how wonderful they are. But hey, you know, you've heard better.
I love this song. Just don't keep beating it into my brain.
Well, you're the one that brought it up. The point that I'm making, I think the day and age of the...
And the highway signs say we're close.
That's the song, right?
Get it out of here. Well, yes, that's the song. The day and age of bands saying, well, I'm just too good to sell this to a commercial enterprise. Perhaps those days are still with us. Perhaps they aren't. Maybe it depends on the artist. Maybe it depends on their need of money and just how much they may need the money. And I think that if you, like I said, you know, I mean, let's look at these guys and these men and women for who they are. They're just like everybody else. They have families. They have bills to pay. They got things they want to do. And if somebody comes up to them and says, I'd like to buy that song and I'm going to pay you a handsome price for it, and that individual sees an opportunity to, like in the case of Graham Nash, put his kids through college. Why the hell not, you know? All right.
Well, that's very pretty, Mr. Henry, but it has nothing to do with the vanguard of artists in our country that are...
Yeah, thank you very much.
So you drowned me out because...
All right, anyway, we'll be right back. Vernon Dozier is going to join us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show to talk about medical programs that are being put on hold because of the government shutdown, one that is very concerning to him, individual. Vernon Dozier, who is a math and science, social sciences, and a teacher, as well as football coach at Belmar Academy. And then later on, we'll have, other falderall to dig through here on this news-ass, heavy-ass, damn-ass, Wednesday night-ass show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. By the way, a reminder to you that coming up this weekend, we have the Game of the Week with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell on Phil TV. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Welcome to the program. Here we have this half hour, Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy to talk about medical programs, medical research that will be put on hold as the result of the government shutdown. And we also have later on in the program Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, these guys from the West Virginia State Capitol, the state legislators there, and they're going to talk about what they call the treasonable rhetoric of Rick Perry. Treasonable. Now, you got to understand something, and I talked to these guys earlier, that they claim that the rhetoric around the political process in this country has not been as extreme, since before the Civil War. And what they mean by that is that during the lead-up to the Civil War, politicians were accusing each other of actual treasonous or unpatriotic behavior. Literally, the President of the United States engaged in it, too, James Buchanan. And what's happening here in this country now is Perry was saying that essentially the Affordable Care Act is a felony, a criminal act. Now, that is... Perry is one of these guys that gets a lot of people excited, but as a man, he hasn't really got a whole lot going on from the neck up. He gets a lot of those Texans jazzed.
You had better watch what you say, because those Texans will...
Well, I'm just telling you. I mean, if this guy is calling it a criminal act...
Yeah, but Rick Perry got a lot of people...
Okay, so he's got a lot of people that like him, all right? Maybe call me one guy that doesn't, whatever. All right, so, we'll get into that when we get into that. How about that, okay? Does that make everybody feel good? All right.
Not the same as going to watch out and say the guy's dead from the neck up,
Yeah, you're talking about a guy being dead from the neck up, Phil, and I don't doubt that you're right about Rick Perry. But I think there is an old saying, there but for the grace of God, go I.
Saying your head's dead, neck up?
No, I didn't say my head's dead, neck up. This guy, Phil, you ought to get him checked out.
Well, all right, so what are you saying?
I'm saying we've got a lot of that problem around these parts, if you know what I mean.
Oh, am I dead from the neck up?
Did I say that?
I guess not.
Well, I am saying it. I'm not saying you're dead from the neck up, but I'm saying you're on critical...
You're on intensive care.
Yes, you're in intensive care from the neck up.
Thank you very much. That's really great. And why do you say that?
Because I think you need to look before you leap, Phil. You're talking about Rick Perry being dead from the neck up, and he may well be, but he has a lot of friends. Excuse me. Phil, I'm going to keep doing... Don't look at me like that.
God, that is... just crude.
I'm going to keep doing that so long as I have the rights under the Constitution of the United States of America. What is that?
I got,
Vernon Dozier, that's what that is. All right.
Do you want to wait for me to finish?
No, I can't wait for you to finish talking. Vernon, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Very good, Phil. Thank you.
All right, let's talk about the government shutdown. You are a supporter of the effort to shut the government down. You're a supporter of the conservative caucus that has voted to shut government down, or if you will, they've withheld their votes for any kind of a funding of the federal government because of Obamacare. They wanted to put that on hold for a year. You're in favor of all of that?
I'm absolutely in favor of all of that. I'm a school teacher, and that means that I have the well-being of my young people, my young students, comes first. And I have to look at the future of this country, and when I look at the future and the cost of the health care plan that will be passed along to these young people, I've got to weigh in. I've got to throw my hat into the ring. with a big no written on the ticket that's stuck in the band of that hat as it gets tossed into the ring. I cannot in good conscience support it. However, I did not know that when government shut down, there were a number of medical programs in the research stages that would as well be shut down. I certainly knew that a great many services would be affected. I did not know that these medical programs would be affected when I supported this.
All right, now before you tell me what medical programs, do you still support the government shutdown?
I do not support the government shutdown now.
But Vernon, you just said that you did.
I just did say that I did, and I did support the government shutdown. I'm now saying I don't support the government. Let me tell you why I don't support the government. I support the government shutdown, in theory. But in Bethesda, Maryland right now, there is an ongoing study on biochemistry, the biomechanics of men, especially men over the age of 50, and especially men over the age of 50 with hormonal issues and so forth, and to specific areas of dysfunction, sexual and otherwise. This is a research program that was fulminated by a great many people that I admire, and I follow that. And without getting specific, they were focusing on a segment of men to whom who do not respond necessarily to traditional therapy. Now, I want you to know something. I don't want this to be all about me.
But we are talking about government shutdown here, right?
Yes, we're talking about government shutdown, but I wanted you to know that I don't support the government shutdown for only one reason, and it has nothing to do with my lack of support for. I do not support Obamacare. I do not want that cost passed on to young people. But the medical research being done in Bethesda, Maryland, right now, as it pertains to the functionality and the therapeutic treatment of men over 50 for dysfunction. Was reaching a place where they would be able to treat men like me. I have a very high, and I don't mean to speak in ways that may not be appropriate for here, but I have a very strong and very high, I will tell you, sex drive. I'm not saying that I'm anything special. It's very, very strong.
Well, but I think you're leading up to something here, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Go ahead.
You do suffer from dysfunction.
Yes, I do. I would rather have brought that out myself, but you're absolutely right. It's okay.
All right, but you have dysfunction.
I have dysfunction, but hold on for just a minute. I have a very strong and powerful sex drive, but it just so happens that Viagra and other traditional therapies do not work with me, and the doctor told me it's because I'm so powerful in that area that the medicine just, in its own way, gives up. It quits because it can't handle everything that's going to be happening.
Well, what does that mean exactly?
What it means is, and the doctor explained it to me, he said, you have, Vernon, such a strong sex drive. I'm sorry, I'm distracted, Mr. Henry. There's a commercial on with a giant... It's a giant baby, and it's nationwide commercial.
Yes, sir.
It's very disturbing. And I'd ask my wife, turn the channel, get it out of here, please. Get that out of here. Thank you. I can't see that. I won't see it. I don't want to see it. Turn that off. Turn it off. It's that giant kid. Yeah. Oh, thank you. So I have a very...
Let me get back to this discussion of Viagra. You say that your sex drive is so powerful that Viagra gives up.
Well, it doesn't give up in that it's not a living conscious thing.
Is it the fact that your sex drive is so strong that it overwhelms the Viagra's ability to make... I don't understand that exactly.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Hold on. I got one question at a time.
Exactly.
Margaret, I think it's a good point you're making. My sex drive is so powerful that Viagra, when I take it...
Now, can I... Don't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead. God.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right, but I've got a lot that I want to say because a lot can be misunderstood, and I just got done doing the John and Ken show, and I got laughed at I'm telling you, because I didn't have enough time to get out everything I needed to get out before they started calling in and laughing at me. And I don't want that to happen here.
I understand, and we won't let that happen. My question is this. You have a sexual dysfunction.
And by the way, I know that we want to talk about Obamacare.
Absolutely, we will. You have sexual dysfunction, but you have a really powerful sex drive. That's by your description.
Yeah, well, I'm not making that out. I got my wife standing. She's standing by in case I need. She's sitting here, and she's put off making dinner, and she's put off doing a lot of it because I told her sit here because I may need some backup. And
all right, I mean, I don't think we need that.
Well, it would be nice to hear a woman's point of view.
All right, well, my wife is here. You know, if you want to step up to the plate, Miss Gray, you go right ahead. You know?
I don't consider this a challenge, Vernon. I'm not trying to challenge you. I just thought it would be interesting.
All right, that's fine. Yes, she's here. Amber's here. And she's ready to throw the high, hard heat if you're willing to step into the box.
Well, there's nobody's challenging anybody. Margaret's point here is she would just like to hear a female point of view. We're going to get back to this because the next question I have for you then is let's define this and let's find out what this program is that has been shut down by the federal government so that we can better understand, you know, what it is that Vernon needs and perhaps other American men like him. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Is that fair?
Yes, I do think it's fair. I would like to hear from his wife.
All right, fine. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. Don't forget, on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock, it'll be me and Bobby Dooley at the L.A. Podfest. Get your tickets, man. Go to our website. We got a link there for the L.A. Podfest, Saturday, October the 5th. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com with myself, Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and we have Vernon Dozier here. And as you might guess, we've got a lot of discussion on the table here about the Obamacare and government shutdown and stuff like that that, you know, affects all of us.
Well, if I could make a point, Phil.
Go ahead.
You're making it sound a little dull. The government shutdown is not dull.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, well, you're going, well, they got a thing and that, and then a da-da-da-da-do, you know.
Yeah, Bud's making a good point with the sing-songy way that you're doing it.
You don't do it sing-songy.
I'm not doing anything sing-songy.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Well, you give me that look, Phil, like you're going to rape me.
Oh, would you be? Grow up, will
you? Well, you did give her a look.
I didn't give her any such look.
You look. It gave me a start, the way you just looked at me.
Margaret, I'm running the show. I know what I'm doing. I didn't give you that look. That's your way of prejudicing me against the audience or the audience against me or something that you're doing.
Okay. Well, that's really clear. Something that you're doing. See, he just gave me the... It's making me belch.
All right. Would you...
I'll go to the bathroom.
Yeah, better go to the bathroom and belch in there.
I don't have to go to the bathroom and belch in there, do I?
If you just get out of here before I get angry.
What a dick.
Hey! All right, so Vernon Dozier is with us. What, you know, this program, man, I lose control of this, and it ain't my fault. You know, I'm trying to do the thing that I do, man, to the best way that I know how. All right, Mr. Dozier, forgive me, how are you doing?
I'm good. I didn't know you could say, there's some words that have been said on the air here tonight that I didn't know were the vulgarity.
I apologize to you. I want to get to the point that you were making just before the break, which is there's a program, a research program funded by the federal government that will not be funded by the federal government or won't have operating funds in these days following the government shutdown. I want to get to what that is. It's a study, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is a study. I want to follow up on the dirty word that I heard her call you. I don't want to belabor it because I know you have. We want to go on, but she just called you a D.I. Wow.
Yeah, I know she did, and we'll deal with it.
You'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what he means, I'm going to say, what he means by, can you hear me?
Yeah, I just heard you go, can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, good. Hear this. I didn't say any such thing, Phil. I was going to say the name of your friend, Mr. Wood.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right.
Well, I was.
All right, sit down, please. All right, Vernon, the question is, this program which is now treating men who have a strong sex drive, right?
That's my bad. I don't know what they're doing. All I know is they can help me. I've got so powerful a sex drive that Viagra doesn't work on it, and neither does Cialis, and neither does any of these others. Because, according to the doctor that I talked to, Dr. Luminol,
That's the name of a poison.
It is the name of a poison from that movie DOA.
Well, don't start in with me, okay? That's the guy's name, Luminol. Are you trying to tell me there's some kind of a plot now to...
No, I'm just telling you, the guy's got a funny name.
From what movie?
DOA, Luminol. It's a poison. It's a luminescent poison.
Mr. Henry, I've got enough problems. I got enough problems with my insurance company getting this stuff paid for, okay? Now, the Obama... See, I got insurance. I have it through the school, all right? But Obamacare has forced the Republicans to force the government to force the program. It's just got to get... Everything's being forced. And what's the force going to do? It's going to, you know, close everything.
Don't have a force. The force be with you.
Yeah, the force be with you.
Yeah, that's cute, and I heard some of the kids say that.
The force be with you, huh?
Yeah. Well, the force ain't with me. The force is going against me. I did have the force going with me. I've got a very powerful sex drive, and my wife is here to attest to that. But the Viagra doesn't work, and it's because...
Yeah, we know. It gets overwhelmed by the power of your sex drive. It gives up.
That is absolutely correct, Ms. Gray, and you may not believe it.
That's fine, but I want to do what Phil said. Let's get to what is this government program going to do?
The government program, okay, was going to develop a new therapy that could withstand the force of my sex drive and make me not be dysfunctional.
See, I don't understand that. How can you be dysfunctional with a really powerful sex drive and yet it doesn't work?
It's a good question, Vernon.
Well, I'm sure it is a good question, because so far, this woman has been controlling this entire interview. And one of the reasons why I have a level of dysfunction is because I haven't got a fighting chance against the women with their opinions. You know, it's always, let me tell you what, let me tell you how, and I never am able to achieve an erection because it's their mouth going, you know. And I told my wife all she has to do, if I may be so bold, Phil.
Go ahead.
Because this could help other men. I tell my wife, all she has to do is to just not talk. Just please be quiet. I said to her, just shut up and we have a something that works for us. Shut up and lay there. It sounds like it's a...
Oh, Mike, that sounds so disrespectful to the woman.
Well, no, it isn't, ma'am. No, it's not. Shut up and lay there means she doesn't have to do anything. Just don't talk, because my mother talked a lot.
How much of this is a psychological thing?
Well, what do you mean a psychological thing? What is that supposed to mean? I have, Mr. Henry, I've got,
You don't sound comfortable with the topic, that's all.
I'm very comfortable with the topic. What happens to me is when I hear a woman, I'm just trying to talk to Mr. Henry. If you'd ask Ms. Gray to be quiet, I've told my wife Amber to keep her mouth shut. I don't miss no females talking, and I will, and you will see. I wish you could see, and I know it would be obscene, but I think for educational purposes, if the women would just shut their mouths, you would see me. Wow. I wish I had a camera on it, because I think you'd be very impressed. But women won't shut up, so that's why I've got to go to option B, which is this federally funded government program on how to...
On the dysfunction caused by women talking too much.
Yes, sir, and the way you're saying it, though, makes it sound like I'm an imbecile, and I'm beginning to think that I am, just the way you said that, and I don't think it's fair.
Well, I'm not trying to do that, sir. I'm literally interpreting, I'm saying what I believe you mean to say, which is this government program is going to help you guys whose sex drives are so powerful... They overwhelm, Viagra just gives up, and this is caused by the fact that women talk too much.
When I'm trying to have the sex happen, yeah.
Okay, no, I understand. Let's take a phone call here. Our number, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. 845 RC up in Alhambra. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Bill. We're listening to your program tonight here at Bradley Military Academy. We want to say that we really enjoy the program and everything. And Mr. Dozier, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
I got to say that I understand to a degree what Mr. Dozier is saying about how the women will make you nervous. But because I'm very young, I'm 16 years old, I've never had it work or anything. But because I'm 16, I'm in a high school right now, even though it works good, it never was able to be put into use, you know, because of my youth and because of society kind of frown on it.
Well, that's gonna be the case, young man. You're not going to be allowed to. You say you've never been dysfunctional. Well, I wish I was you, because if I had what you got, I would be ripping a trail across this county, like, you know.
Yes, sir. But we don't have no way. We are not allowed to use it that way because of the age.
Yeah, and that's what I find very unfair, Mr. Henry.
All right, well, we're hoping that the government is going to... Thank you very much, R.C. We're hoping the government will be back up and running, and we're going to have, you know, at some point, we're going to have for you, Vernon, and for others, the research that is needed to keep things, flowing on the straight and narrow. Thank you, Vernon, for being with us.
Right, I wanted to give out a website.
Well, we don't have the time. We'll try and do it next hour. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Coming up next hour, Kurt Quaidy and Guy Barton, and more on the government shutdown thing. Okay, bye. World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back. Yeah, we have with us this hour, Kurt Quaidy and Guy Barton will be talking about... Well, it's pretty heavy stuff. I mean, they're basically... It's getting hot and heavy, folks. What can I tell you? It's getting crazy. People are accusing each other of all kinds of things, all kinds of nasty stuff, all kinds of unpatriotic stuff. And Kurt and Guy join us from Charleston, West Virginia. They have concluded another session there at the West Virginia State House. Both of them state senators. And you're at Florida's tonight, across from the state capitol. Kurt, good to have you on the line with us. How are things?
Oh, everything's going good, Bill. It's good to be with you.
And Guy Barton, I know, is with you this evening. We've got Guy on the line here in a moment.
Guy right now is finishing up, actually just paying a bar to have, to be honest with you. We're going to come back up, and we want to thank... Can I make just a couple of thank yous, Bill?
Go ahead.
We want to thank Del Stanton, who is the owner of the club. We're going to go to VIP. And also John Carden, one of the other owners of the club, is going to go up to VIP with us here in just a moment. Here's our guy now, Phil, if you want to say hello to him.
Yeah, put him on the phone.
Hey, son, how you doing?
Guy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm all over. I play that, play that one-armed bandit. They've got him here, you know.
They put a one-armed bandit in here, Phil, with for limited use. It's not gambling, per se. For charity, but Guy was over there having a roll at that.
I put a one-armed bandit over here, and I put a couple of dollars on it to find out.
All right, well, I wanted to get both of you guys on the phone here this evening, and can you hear me well? Because I know you're in the midst of a little bit of a party, huh?
Yeah, and Matt, I'll be happy to tell you what the party is about, and it's a party to celebrate President Barack Obama standing up, I think, like a man, pushing forward on agenda of health care like he said he would. He passed Obamacare like a man and not like a one of these, looked to me like a scared little schoolboy, you know, like Republicans do.
I think that's thank you very much, Kurt. Phil, if I can make a point on that, I thought Barack Obama has sort of manhood. You can look at all these little boys, Republican little boys, and all the little boys out there, and I heard the gentleman talking about that gigantic baby. To me,
that's a very good point.
To me, the Republican looked to me like the gigantic baby.
What do you mean, that giant baby on the nationwide spot?
We heard a gentleman on your program a few, not too long ago. He say, look at that gigantic baby, it scared him. You know, well, I've never seen a man look like he's ready to go ahead and drop one like this man. Mr. Boehner did the other night after they voted to shut the government down. He didn't look like a happy man. He looked like a man who's being led around with a ring through his nose by the members of the Tea Party caucus. So I think tonight, as a Democrat, whether we work in a state house, whether we work in a nation capital, no matter where we work tonight, we are celebrating manhood and standing up for the voters and for the people of this country and not pretending like you're standing up for people when, in point of fact, all you're doing is trying to upset an apple cart for a handful of fanatics in Washington, maybe back in your home district.
All right, so let's talk a little bit here about your problem with Rick Perry. Guy, you were the one who sort of pointed this out.
Yeah, Rick Perry, the governor of Texasville. Rick Perry is a disgrace before a man, before God and country. Rick Perry said that health care was a felony. He said a criminal act. And then the only time that kind of rhetoric had been used.
By the way, I want to say a man on TV right now. Do you know this man, Judd Gregg, a former senator of New Hampshire, Judd Gregg?
I know who he is, yeah.
Yeah, this is the guy who is the lowest form of life on earth. President Obama named this man to the cabinet, and he turned around and used that appointment to the cabinet to embarrass the president. And I think that he got what he deserved, got his ass kicked out of U.S. Senate, the lowest form of life on earth.
I'm not going to go on down that path. You know, I don't want to go on down there, you know.
No, I'll go around there. I don't mind going down there.
You're talking about Judd Gregg, the former senator of New Hampshire. He'd been appointed to the Interior Post, right?
Yeah, he'd been appointed to the Interior Post by President Obama, who wanted to have an inclusive cabinet. But the Republicans decided they make a joke out of that, you know. And it was Lincoln that President Obama...
Yeah, no, Lincoln, but I don't think President Obama thought he Lincoln.
What's your story with Judd Gregg? You two guys buddies? You two guys butt buddies or something like that?
Yeah, I'm calling a butt buddy with Judd Gregg, you know.
Well, okay, why are we talking about Judd Gregg?
Well, we're talking about Judd Gregg because Judd Gregg is an example of the lowest form of life there is in the United States, or used to be United States Congress. He got sent down the road by the voters in New Hampshire. They told him, you take your act, your lying, thieving, scum-sucking...
See, that's the very thing we try to avoid, you know.
I understand that, but, you know, you got a man like this, this Judd Gregg, he's a thieving, lying, scum-sucking dog. You know, that man's a dog.
See, Phil, we're trying to avoid that kind of rhetoric.
All right, let's calm down a little bit. And are you guys, I'm sorry to have to be redundant. You can hear me.
Yeah, I hear you real good. You know, no problem.
Here, Phil, but we're in the VIP room. What you're hearing, a little tiny speaker here. It sounds loud, but it's all good.
All right, we're talking with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton in Charleston, West Virginia tonight at Florida's, which is a dance club across from the state capitol there. And we're discussing, specifically, we want to get into Rick Perry's statements that the Obamacare, that the Affordable Care Act, whatever the hell people want to call it, which, of course, we found to our amusement, that people think they're two separate acts, you know.
Well, what's that tell you? It tells you the Republicans done a good job of confusing the living hell. They don't want nobody to understand this act. It's the Republicans want people to misunderstand it. Because if they misunderstand it, the Republicans are doing good. If they understand it, the Republicans ain't doing good. They're going to lose. You take this scum-sucking dog I'm looking at on the TV right now. That man's a dog. You know?
Now, go get off on that Judd Gregg now. Now, come on now. You know?
Well, I know that guy. He's not a butt buddy, yo.
Hey, what you mean, butt buddy? He is not a...
What's the problem with Judd Gregg?
Yeah, what is the problem with him?
I got no problem with Judd Gregg. Every time I see that dirty, filthy, scum-sucking dog, all right.
You know, I think that you're hurting yourself, Kurt, if I may, by calling that man those names, because this is exactly what you're trying to avoid. This is why you came on the program tonight, you know.
That's exactly right. We don't want to turn into what they are.
Well, I understand that, you know, but this is a very important fight that we're in the middle of. And when you take these very trivial fools, and I think I have to say, Phil, I'm sorry about saying the things I said, but I want to say these are trivial fools that don't understand, and fanatics that don't understand the fight we're in.
to try to bring down that health care, trillions and trillions of dollars. Going to try to bring that down, you know. Y'all can't understand my feelings.
I understand your feelings 100%, but as we said, no sense in engaging in the kind of extreme rhetoric that you're trying to avoid, that you feel has been engaged in our country of late. All right, we're going to be back here with Kurt Quidy and Guy Barton from the state capitol there in Charleston, West Virginia, as we continue discussing with them, and we'll get into discussing with them, Rick Perry's comments that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is a criminal act, is a felony against the young people of this country. That's the kind of language that hasn't been heard in this country for over 100 years, before the Civil War. Those are the kinds of extreme and frightening things people were saying. Rick Perry cannot possibly be a very intelligent man when he says things like this. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Kurt Quidy and Guy Barton here. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico, baby. This is where we broadcast this thing each and every night. On the line with me from the West Virginia State Capitol is Kurt Quidy and Guy Barton, and they're over there at Florida's this evening as they're holding forth. It's a little bit of a party, and I think it's kind of interesting that, and I don't see any problem with it. I think that the idea of partying to celebrate the Democrats doing the right thing, I guess, is although, Kurt, you put it a different way. You said celebrating the Democrats manning up, huh?
Oh, yeah, I think that's exactly what we are celebrating. We're celebrating manhood.
Phil, that's all about manhood, you know.
Yeah, we're celebrating manhood. And a man, you know, it doesn't take manhood to stand there and say, I don't want this to happen. And you say, well, why don't you want it to happen? When you already had a fair fight, you had a vote, you had a United States Supreme Court weighing in, you had a both houses of the Congress, the United States President signing into law, you had a fair fight. Straight up, you got your ass kicked. Now you can't stand up like a man and take it. You're going to act like a little tiny child, you know, and say, well, I'm going to dig my heel in on that. You know, if they want their ass kicking again, I think they'd want it that way.
Yeah, Phil, that's exactly the point that I've got. They're looking for another ass kicking. They're going to get another ass kicking. It's the same as that, you know. I don't know what they're...
Yeah, but see, isn't this the rhetoric you guys are trying to avoid?
I don't know. We talk about ass kick.
You talk about, Phil, let's get into what Rick Perry said, okay?
That's exactly what I want to do. I want to hear what it was that Rick Perry said, and then what you guys are, what your counter to that is.
All right, well, I know, Guy, you made some statements today on the floor of the state senate here, what we call old Jimmy. That's the state capitol here. What'd you say, Ellen?
Well, I said Rick Perry, the governor of the state of Texas, great state. And I don't know, you know this, Phil, but I'm originally from Rubidoux. I'm Louisiana all the way, 100%. I love Louisiana, I love the Cajun, and I'm a Cunard all the way.
That's right. I come from, also I'm from Louisiana. We are transplants here to West Virginia.
You're from Louisiana?
Yeah, both of us are, yeah.
I come from Rubidoux.
And I'm myself from Baton Rouge, the state capital, by way of the West Bank, New Orleans, Louisiana. So we both are Louisiana. But anyway, go ahead.
So the point I'm making here is that Rick Perry, he, the governor of the state of Texas, said that this is a felony. He said it's a criminal act. Now, that's a kind of, just as you pointed out, Phil, I think very good. That's the kind of thing you say when you are trying to divide and you're trying to stir up and you're trying to make more violent the rhetoric and more violent the passion. Now, Rick Perry, that man thinks he's so right. He thinks he is so right. He risks violent passions over this thing. He risks no more discussion. He risks no more reaching across the aisle. The Republicans are so hypocritical when they say they want to have a discussion and they engage in the kind of rhetoric that Rick Perry engaged in, talk about a felony, talking about a criminal act, and then they think I'm going to sit down and I'm going to talk to them. Rick Perry, Phil, you said it, dead from the neck up, he's the stupidest man that has, I think, ever risen to the office of governor of the state of Texas. They've had some very good men and good women. the governor in the high level of office in the state of Texas. But I don't think they've ever had in the state of Texas as stupid a man, as hypocritical a man, as vile an individual as this Rick Perry. And I think he's a dog. And
well, that's the damn thing. You didn't want me
to... Hold on. I think that man's a dog. The things he said...
That's the thing you didn't want me to say about Judge Gregg. You didn't want me to say that.
Judge Gregg. Judge Gregg. You got to understand, Judge Gregg, a friend of mine, okay?
Aha! That's all I was trying to say.
See, that's what we were saying to you, Guy.
Yeah.
We were saying that... It sounds like Judd Gregg's a friend of yours. You didn't want that kind of extreme rhetoric.
I'm not engaged in extreme rhetoric. I'm talking about the governor of the state of Texas.
Yeah, you just said to that man, you quoted me almost directly. You said, that man's a dog. That's exactly what I said, Judd Gregg.
Yeah, you said that, Judd Gregg. But I'll tell you, Rick, I didn't hear no Judd Gregg saying that's a felony or it's a criminal act. I did hear Rick Perry say that.
All right, so let me say this. Both of you guys are making a very good point. You're saying that on the one hand, the Republicans sit there across that table like they're ready to sit down and negotiate after engaging in some of the most violent rhetoric, some of the most extreme rhetoric, questioning patriotism, questioning people's loyalties, questioning Newt Gingrich with this American president thing. Newt Gingrich is begging for somebody to walk up to him, and I'm not saying this literally. I'm saying like congressman to congressman, let's say. Equal to equal. One of these days, somebody's going to walk up to him at a cocktail party and punch him out for the stuff that he said.
That's exactly right. Talk about American president.
Well, that Newt Gingrich is a kook. You have to understand, Phil, I don't worry about Newt Gingrich at all. Are you kidding me? That man, Newt Gingrich is a kook, man. He's way out there, you know.
All right, let me get a phone call in here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, at the Joyful Union Congregation, where tonight they've just had a prayer meeting break up there. This is a meeting of some 70 different churches from across the West Coast. It is Pastor William Rennick on the line with us. And Pastor Rennick, always good to have you with us.
Bill, first of all, I'm sending out to the good men there in West Virginia. Very hearty. God bless you. Very good to talk to you, Kurt.
Pastor Rennick, good word to you, sir.
Guy.
Yes, sir, Reverend. I'm right here.
I'm going to tell you that you're a good man. You know, it's like what Kurt's saying. Got to calm down, you know.
I'm calm down, but, you know, Pastor, what he was saying about Judd Gregg being a scum-sucking dog, you know.
Well, let me say something, Phil. I've listened to this conversation on the radio. I listen to Phil Henry's show all the time. Okay?
Yeah, you don't have my... I always listen on you.
All right, now, I want you all you listening. Now, look at here. You want to talk about a man being a scum-sucking dog, being the lowest form of life on earth. You want to talk about a man hadn't got the guts to stand up like a man and fight like a man, where he get his, as you said, he take a whooping, and he come back crying like he want to have another... you know, like the fight wasn't fair, that kind of thing. I understand what y'all talking about.
And you know I believe in a way of peace, you know.
No, I understand that.
Can I say something, Pastor?
Yeah, go ahead, but I got a point I want to make here.
No, I understand that, Pastor. This is Kirk Queedy, Pastor. Look, Pastor William Rennick has been, I think, one of the people that has led us wisely in this path of conciliation and trying to give America a fighting chance, you know, against trying to deal with health care and all these things.
I would agree, yeah.
So your words, Pastor Rennick, are very wise, but when a man engages in the kind of violent rhetoric that a Rick Perry do, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I totally understand, but listen to me. I know all about Rick Perry. I know all about politics, everything. I'm sitting here, Joyful Union Congregation, my wife Claire, she talks to people. I only know one thing. I know the Word of God.
That's right.
Yeah. And you talk about a scum-sucking, low-lying dog. My wife and I, we went to the Middle East.
You're on down to Holy Land, right?
We went on down to Holy Land. And we had a whirlwind vacation down there. And I went there and we saw everything. We saw the Wailing Wall. We saw where Jesus was born, Bethlehem. We've seen all that, and a bag of chips too.
So you saw the whole Megillah.
Yeah, all of everything, and I prayed, and I prayed and I prayed. Now we come on back through London. Now, that time that I was, and Clara's here, she can attest to that. I know you think I'm crazy.
Miss Clara, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm very, very good. Look at here, listen. I stood there, and I had a private audience along Clara. We had a private audience to Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah, imagine that.
That's right. I knew then. And I said to Clara, there was a certain tension, you want to call it sexual tension, between myself and the Queen of England. And that's what I felt now. The man there, he called himself the Queen Bodyguard, said, now you got to move on. I said, now that's a dog. That man's a dog. Because I had a sexual tension going.
That man was trying to protect the Queen of England.
I could never protect him. I wouldn't have hurt her on account of sexual tension. And that scum-sucking dog at Buckingham Palace. Y'all ever been there?
I've never been to Buckingham Palace. I know all about it, though.
Yeah, I know about Buckingham.
Well, you know about Buckingham Palace. That scum-sucking dog told me to move on, get on, you know, get going, because there's a whole lot of other people want to come see the Queen of England. I said, there's a sexual tension going on. He said, I don't give a sweet you-know-what. And that I said, that man's a dog. Told me to get out of there. And,
okay, so the point, Pastor Rennick, is what?
Here's no point, Phil. There's no point of what this fool's trying to say.
What are you talking about?
No. Phil, we have taken up your time. We have some prayer. We got a prayer breakfast due tomorrow morning.
Just give me the phone back, woman.
We have a prayer breakfast due tomorrow morning, Phil. And we very much thank you. And we want to have the...
Okay, I guess she's gone.
Sounds to me like the line went dead.
All right, well, I'll tell you what, guys, we'll be back with you. That was Pastor William Rennick. We have on the line with us here our good friends Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy from West Virginia this evening as we continue talking about Rick Perry and, you know, what their problem is with him. We just had Pastor William Rennick on the line there from Joyful Union in Bellflower, California. And what was that about, anyway?
Well, he was talking about, as he said, the scum-sucking dog bodyguard of the Queen of England that wouldn't allow the sexual tension. I don't...
Okay. Get him back on. Maybe we can have the pastor back on to explain. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Get a BSP, a backstage pass. Become a subscriber to our website, 5,000 hours. 5,000 hours of full radio shows at philhenryshow.com. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. I thought we were going to get on the screen there. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, we had a little Steve Bozell and Ted Bell poster there. You know, on Sundays, they do the pro game of the week at Phil TV. So if, you know, you're listening to our show, that's cool. But the fun and the frivolity doesn't end on Friday. Over the weekend, we have little events that occasionally take place on the weekend. And during football season, we have... the pro game of the week. Last year we did the Milwaukee Lion games, but that league is suspended. They don't have any operating capital. So, in any event, this year it is Ted Bell and Steve Bozell doing the pro game of the week. We will have them on later in the week to talk about that. So get a backstage pass. It is well worth it. We have with us Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton. They are talking to us from the Florida Dance Club, a nightclub there in Charleston, West Virginia, and we're talking about some of the rhetoric surrounding the passage of Obamacare, the government shutdown. You know, it's just weird, man. The bill, I can't help but say what I'm saying, and that is that, yes, it was debated. Yes, it was passed. Yes, it was both houses of Congress. Yes, it was the U.S. Supreme Court. All of that stuff, you see. And because you don't like it, because what happened to the rule of the majority? It sucks, but not enough people agree with these guys in Congress that don't dig it. Are you people in Congress? Are you now going to claim that you have the right to turn back the majority and say, or to interpret what a majority is, or otherwise control the lives and the futures of people, even though you don't have the votes, man, you ain't got the number. Who the hell do you people think you are? And so to that end, I've got to agree with Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton, who are on the line with us. Pastor Rennick has come back on. I don't know whether you got free of Clara there, Pastor Rennick. You know.
You know, I wanted to. Clara, let me just say.
Yeah, Phil, we have a prayer breakfast in the morning.
Oh, we got a prayer breakfast. You know, I wanted to say one thing. I agree with everything you're talking about. And Kurt and Guy, I think they understand. Kurt, Guy, you don't mind if I come on here just say a little something?
No, I think it's a good idea. We do have to get back. We have on a VIP floor, you know.
Yeah, we got down on VIP.
No, I understand you on a VIP. You in a VIP room?
Yeah, we're on a VIP room. We got all kind of service here. And I want to get down to it. You know, I want to get back to it. But I had a couple of things I want to say. But I'll follow up. You go ahead.
After you go ahead and say what you want to say.
All right, look. Phil, I know you're talking on about, and I agree with you, Phil, about the, about what has happened in the state, United States Capitol. I agree with you on Obamacare. I think that is wrong. I think that you said everything right when you said what happened to rule of majority. But I think what we're bypassing some things that I hope that would not be bypassed. I understand how important that is to you. But I was talking to you, and a moment ago, Claire come in. She understand. Claire is not fooling anybody. She know how important this is. I said to you, I was back in the Holy Land. Then I come up here to London, England. You understand what I'm saying?
You got a sexual tension with the Queen.
Yeah, but I was told by this dog. This man's a bodyguard. He said, you move on. I said, that man's a dog. I said that to a line of tourists.
Give me that phone.
Everybody talk that.
And you know that, all right, they have, you know, he's going to lay down. Pastor Rennick need to lay down. And I think that's only right.
Look, Claire, this guy, this Kurt Queenie, I want to make sure the Pastor Rennick okay. Is he all right?
Yeah, he's very, he's fine. You lay him down now.
Lay down, and I'll lay down when I'm dead. You know?
Now we have one of our church guardians, and they're going to lay him down. He got to take a nap because we have an awful lot going on. I think he has flipped his lid. I think you can hear very clearly what's going on there.
Well, I he's talking about this dog of a bodyguard. I don't understand. Claire, I thank you. I'm going to let you go, and thank you very much.
Sir, it's always my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, back with you guys are at the. Boy, it sounds like a lot of things are happening over there, Guy. Are you having a good time?
Yeah, we have a very good time. Yeah,
we always have a good time out here in Florida. But I wanted to follow up here on what Pastor Rennick said. I know you got some phone call you want to take, Phil. But Pastor William Rennick talked about that dog bodyguard. I ain't talking about that. You know, I'm saying the man's a dog, a scum sucking dog. Is the senator from New Hampshire, Judd Gregg. He is a pig, and I don't care, Guy. No.
Look at that. We are not. It's definitely going to get accomplished now.
Okay, but you see, you've sort of lost the moral high ground there, Guy, when you said the exact same thing about Rick Perry, all right?
Like Rick Perry ain't no friend of mine, Judd Gregg, a friend of mine. Okay.
How'd that man be a friend of yours? He a lying dog, a scum-sucking dog. He lied to President Obama. Said he's going to take that government post. I think Judd Gregg, I think he's an example of what makes this country hasten down the path to godless communism. You think Judd Gregg going to make this country a communist dictatorship faster than anything Barack Obama doing? I don't understand people talk about Barack Obama. You got a guy like Judd Gregg as a scum.
See, that's getting redundant now.
It's getting a little redundant, and it's getting very hateful. If you don't want to have the kind of rhetoric that we're talking about here, that's not very patriotic, that's very hateful, why engage in it?
Because I think there's some men deserving of it. I think the man is not deserving of it is President Obama. I think the thing he not deserving of is the great work he done on health care. President Obama, the very first president in the history of this country to put that health care question out on the table and to successfully present to the American people a plan. The American people accept that plan. And now we move on, and now all these here, Republicans, they don't want to have a black man make that change in the country.
That's not fair. You know, you're talking about your own race now.
Well, I don't give a damn I talk about my own race, you know.
What difference does it make, Guy?
Yeah, what difference does it make?
Look, I'm a liberal, and as far as it goes, but you know, white man got to stick together. Don't you think a white man got to stick together?
No, I don't think a white man got to stick together. I think a white man got to say what a white man got to say, and I'm telling you now, even to what you're talking about anyway. Yeah, boy, you've been hanging with Rick Perry too long, man.
Look at that. I'd rather hang out with Rick Perry than hanging out with I don't hang with Rick Perry. I'm talking about Judd Gregg. That's my friend. You hang out with Rick Perry.
No, I do not hang out with Rick Perry. I hang out with Judd Gregg.
You said Judd Gregg is scum-sucking dog.
Yeah, you did say that.
No, I did not. Well, if I said that, I meant Rick Perry.
For a half an hour, you called Judd Gregg a scum-sucking dog and the reason why America will become a communist dictatorship.
Well, I meant Rick Perry.
You got to say what you mean. Because you didn't say what you meant, okay?
Look, why don't you go over and scope out Rosie's breast again, okay, man? Go get yourself a double gobble.
I'm not good. God, look it. I have gotten along with you a long time.
Okay, I want to separate you two guys because it's turning into a fight. So, Kurt or Guy or whoever.
I'm going to say, Guy, you go get a double gobble.
Go get a forget it.
I sent him away. He's going to go out. Look, the whole point I'm trying to make here, Phil, I know you want to take a phone call too, is the idea that President Obama is not the one. He stood up like a man and he got health care and the rest of these dogs. They don't want a black man passing that health care. They want it to be, they can't stand the idea that a black president come in there and kick their ass and change the way America deals with health care for the very first time in the history of the country and got the country caught up with the rest of the world. Because America was, we were sucking it behind Canada, for God's sake. And let me tell you what, I love this country so much that when I found out that Canada had a health care plan that does work, I felt sick to my stomach. That's how much I love America, that we're going to sit there and suck behind you know what, behind Canada, you know. That ain't no good. That ain't no good.
All right, Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about health care, Obamacare, and the very, very violent rhetoric behind all of it. Let's go to another phone call here. I got Austin Amarca talking to us here from Lancaster, California. Austin, go ahead.
Well, listen, these two gentlemen here have called into question the patriotism of Rick Perry and other people that I think fight for this country. You know, I'm just a working man. I'm doing everything that I can to feed my family and to try to make a good life for my family. And now along comes Obama telling me I've got to buy insurance. I can't afford it. Okay?
Well, you're not yelling me. I'm going to check it out, man, on that healthcare.gov.
At healthcare.gov. All right, I went on that website and look it up. I couldn't figure that out. The thing was, it was crashing all the time. I couldn't stay online.
Well, but you were looking for it, though, weren't you?
Yeah, I looked for it. I'd be crazy not to look for it, you know.
Well, then what you mean about Barack Obama making you do something you can't afford? If you're looking up that health care.
Yeah, I'm looking at health care. You know what people going to... I mean, I'm going to look for it, you know.
Well, do you agree with health care or don't you? The national health care or don't you?
I don't agree with national health care.
Then why are you on that healthcare.gov looking at it, trying to find a plan?
Because Obama said I've got to do it, you know. And
your family, let me ask you something, Austin. Your family covered the health insurance?
No, my family not covered. I can't afford it.
Well, don't you think that's a little irresponsible, sir? And to have...
I can't die irresponsible. I take care of my family. Okay?
Yeah, except if they all get sick, you got to throw them on the mercy of a hospital or a doctor or something because you can't afford it.
I'm finding a way to pay for it. Don't worry about it.
Well, that's famous last word, son. That's famous last word. You don't know whether you're going to be able to afford it. You don't know whether you're going to afford a haircut before too long, you know, the way things are going. So I suggest,
Well, look, I went on that healthcare.gov. I couldn't figure it out. I don't know what link went where and everything else. If I can figure out how to play a Madden, or I can figure out how to go on a porn website, why can't I figure out healthcare.gov?
Well, that's just it. You figure out how to go on a porn site. So if you just consider healthcare.gov another porn site, I think you'll be able to work it out just good.
You tell me I got to pretend it's a porn site.
Well, that's the way you're going to figure it out. And that's the way you've been figuring it out for a long time, you know.
Well, look at...
Okay, Austin, good luck with that. Pretend it's a porn site? Okay. World-famous Phil Hendry Show with Guy Barton and Kurt Queedy here as we enter our final segment of this hour talking about Obamacare. You know, we've been talking about the government shutdown. We talked about the programs that have been shut down. We're talking about the rhetoric surrounding the shutdown and the rhetoric surrounding Obamacare. We just had Pastor William Renick on to talk about how he was forced out of an audience with the Queen by her bodyguard, which he thinks the guy's a scum-sucking dog. And now we have Austin Amarca, who can't figure out the website, healthcare.gov, unless he imagines it to be a porn site. In any event, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. All right, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. I thank Kurt Queedy and Guy Barton for being on the line with us over the last hour and for the phone calls and for all of that other stuff. Margaret?
Well, so how do you feel about it again, Phil? Because we've had an awful lot of rhetoric, and Pastor Rennick, in this last hour, we heard a man dragged away from the phone by his wife. We heard another man saying that he was trying to get health care, even as he doesn't approve of it. What are your feelings?
Yeah, what are your feelings about it?
I told you what my feelings are. I told you what my feelings are, you know.
Well, what are your feelings?
I told you what my feelings are the following. My feelings are what just about everybody else that's got a half a brain in their head have been saying. This is a done deal. What the hell is wrong with these guys? They're trying to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat because they feel that in their minds they have a chance to somehow stall and bring to its knees the entire apparatus of the United States government and change the minds of other lawmakers, and in the process change the mind of the president, who said he's going to veto any bill that came to him, turning back any aspect of the health care law. They feel that they're going to win a public relations battle. They feel they're going to win back the hearts and minds of the American people. They've got some idea based upon, I don't know what, I swear to God, I'm not joking when I say maybe they're drinking too much. I saw this thing about them boozing it up, which didn't bother me at all. I mean, if they're boozing it up, they're boozing it up. Look, a guy's entitled to have a drink, a man or a woman, when they're working late. I got no problem with that. The Congress of the United States has been sucking that booze down ever since the Congress started. They had a bar in the back of the United States Senate and the House of Representatives for years. Years! You know, Daniel Webster. You think of the greatest orators in the history of the United States Congress, Daniel Webster, Stephen Douglas, William Jennings Bryan. You think of anybody you want to mention, and these guys were in the back fortifying themselves, you know, with some of that natural Kentucky sipping bourbon and creek water, y'all. Oh, yeah. And get a load of that. You think these guys today can hold the fort, can, you know, filibuster, and they're doing this and that? First of all, we got the most boring pack of bastards I've ever heard in my life speaking in that Congress. There were guys in the United States Congress that this speech was 5 hours. That wasn't a filibuster. That's what the speech was. They used to pack the rafters. The public section of the Senate and in the House of Representatives would be overflowing when they knew that Douglas was speaking, Webster would be speaking, William Jennings Bryan would be speaking, John Calhoun, you know, any of these men who had their reputations preceded them, which, by the way, one of them was not Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln spent a very limited time in the United States Congress. Very limited time. One of the greatest presidents, perhaps the greatest that we've ever had, spent about as much time in the U.S. Congress as, guess what, Barack Obama. But you can't get anybody to, you can't get people to think sensibly about this president because they're just weirded out, and I don't give a damn what anybody says. I've been living in this world long enough to know, and I've been around white people long enough to know, the hang-up they've got more than anything else, he's a black president. What do you think, man, when you hear this guy, this Newt Gingrich with the American president? Gingrich, you are really you talk about a low-lying dog, you know.
Well, you don't want to get on the same rhetoric, man, that everybody else doing.
Don't get into the low-lying dog thing.
Well, what is it with these people? Do you honestly think that your racism is, like, hidden? You think that you're fooling somebody? You think you're, well, wow, do you think so? Gee, Mr. Gingrich. Do you think that you're going to sit down and look at somebody square in the face and say, but this has nothing to do with color? Buddy, go sell that to somebody else. You'll never sell it to me, because if it isn't about color, then you're even dumber than I thought you were. You got to be. If it's not about color, you must be the world's dumbest guy, because if Gingrich is saying things like, this is an American president... Look, Gingrich, we all know what you think about Western culture, and we all know what you think about... And you have put on, from time to time, the face of the reasonable man. But the voter has gotten a good, deep whiff of you, and you stink like a pile of you-know-what, man. Nobody wants you. Nobody wants you for president. They didn't want you for Speaker of the House. They kicked your ass out of there. Everybody has gotten a good, deep whiff of you, and it's just as stale and foul-smelling as anything, okay? So you're done. And who's next on the list? And I just got done talking to Matt. I said, I'm sorry, man, that guy Boehner.
Well, you called Boehner a big P word, and I think some of that may be true. But he has to go along with the wishes of his party.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean he's got to go along with it?
They not go along with the wishes of the party on account of it's a minority.
Bud, why don't you back off before you get me pissed? Okay?
That's a minority.
Look, Bud's making a good point. What do you mean go along with the wishes of the party? He's the Speaker of the House. He's got a minority of people that are telling him how it's going to go, when it's going to go, and what's going to go. You talk about a group of people that have no respect for democracy. They got no freaking respect for the democratic process at all. There's a handful of these people, and they are saying, the American people don't like it. The American people don't like it? Are you an idiot or something, man? They crashed the website yesterday. They're trying to get online to figure out how they can buy insurance for their families, okay? They want to access the healthcare exchange. Now, understand, that's not the only place you go to get healthcare insurance, to get health insurance. You can go to your own company. You can go to other... You don't have to access healthcare.gov. Healthcare.gov is the insurance exchange. It is like a large brokerage house, if you will, where you can shop different plans and you can shop different prices. And it's a pretty easy thing to understand because we use brokers all the time in our lives. We use real estate brokers, for instance. We use stock brokers. We understand how it works, so don't give me this bull crap like we don't understand it. We certainly do understand it. Now you got a lot of people that are accessing this and they want to use this. Now, whether it's Fox News or whoever the hell, everybody's looking for any little thing that they can claim victory. They can say, well, look at this. Oh, my God. The website crashed. It's got glitches. And Fox News, which I used to admire. I mean, I really thought those guys had it going on over there. They're nothing but another MSNBC on the right, man. They're worse than World.net. They're strictly from hunger, those bozos. And those jackasses, Gretchen Carlson, one of the world's great minds, she has her own show now, and she's saying things like, what do you think about them cheerleading for the healthcare thing over at NBC? Well, geez, it's happens to be the law of the land. All they're doing is trying to help people get healthcare insurance that they have to have, you know. And whether you can afford it or not, you're entitled to it. That's the whole thing, man. You dig it?
Well, Phil, now that you've given your speech, you're going to have an awful lot of people upset with you. And I believe that in the long run, it would have been better had you just gone and done, I don't know, if you played music or something.
Yeah, okay. Coming up next hour, we're going to be talking with Margaret. We're going to be doing... Are we doing the Lumineers thing?
Yes.
Okay, great. So speaking of trivial...
That is not trivial.
Yeah, it was trivial. We're going to talk about the Lumineers and their song that is being used by a commercial company or some crap. And Vernon Dozier is back with us on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. He's going to be talking about the fact that he's dysfunctional and his sex drive is so powerful that it overwhelms Viagra. It just gives up.
No!
World famous Phil Henry Show. Let me tell you something. Don't get me into a conversation off the air about healthcare. So help me God, I'm going to come through the God. I'm going to come through this microphone. That's the honest to God truth. I'm so sick and tired of talking to people about this, and the stupidity doesn't even end. It will know no bounds. No bounds at all. The economy, the economics of this thing, people don't understand. The plan, people don't understand. The money that's already being spent on healthcare, people don't understand. You ask the average conservative out there that doesn't like Obamacare, he can't tell you how much money's being spent on healthcare every year in this country. He can't tell you what's even in this plan. He doesn't even know how much these plans cost. He thinks he does. And where did he find this out from? Who the hell knows? I'm going to quit this bloody gig. If I got to start arguing with people down the line about this stuff, I'll quit. I'll walk off of this gig, man. I'm so sick and tired of what talk radio has done to this country, which has just about brought it to the edge of the dumb apocalypse. You want to know why people don't under... You want to know why what's happening in Congress right now is happening? One of the big reasons is this medium right here that's been absolutely... co-opted by a handful of conservative hosts, not a handful, more than that, conservative radio hosts who have butchered left and right the truth. butchered it. Now I'm looking at this guy, Boehner. How does this guy go home and have sex with his wife? I mean, honest to God, who wears the pants in that family? This guy, there's no manhood there. None. I've never seen a guy so worried about being Speaker of the House that he'll do anything, man. He'll bend over for anybody to keep that job. What?
Yeah, David, man, he's going to be all mad and everything.
But say that again, Bud. I don't speak that language.
David's on the phone.
Yeah?
Well, you just did it. You just did it. You have just cooked. You've cooked me, you, you've cooked us all with that little rant that you just did. Now, it's going to be a miracle if I get you to speak before the Conservative Hosts Forum next month, which, as you know, has been planned now for several months in Los Angeles. You'll never... They're not going to invite you.
Oh, no, not that.
David, he's being sarcastic.
Well, don't you think I'd... What do you mean? Oh, you see, Phil, you think that...
Oh, no, I'm not going to be able to speak in front of the Conservative Hosts Forum.
Oh, I see. So you don't care?
No, I don't care.
I got you an invite to speak before them to talk about the things that need to be done.
David, you know what we ought to do? Get me to speak at a forum where we can talk about how to do radio better. You know, how to maybe make more money. How to do a show. I'm speaking at the what?
Because I got you an invite to speak, all right, at the Jerry Rubin, not the Jerry Rubin, that guy's the one there? Oh, yeah, the Rick Robley, Rick Roby, what's the guy's name, that conservative that's dying of cirrhosis of the liver?
I don't know, Rick Roby?
It's Rick Robbie.
Yeah, Rick Robbie. I got you a invite to speak at the Rip.
Rick, is this guy a big-time host?
Yes, he's a big-time host.
Then why don't you know his name?
I know his name. It's Rip Robbie.
No, it is not Rip. It's Rick.
No, you want it, you think it's Rick, but he's in show business. He changed it to Rip.
Rip? R-I-P.
Rip? Yes, Rip. I advised him. Are we going to laugh at that?
You got to be kidding.
You kidding me? You got a guy named Rip Robbie? That's the gayest thing in the world.
No, it ain't gay, and I don't want you using that word.
Mr. Hall, you don't understand. Guy named Rip. The last guy named Rip, Rip Torn.
That's true. The last person I know that's named Rip is Rip Torn.
Who? Well, who's Rip Torn? What, is that a joke?
That's an actor. You've never heard of Rip Torn?
No, I haven't.
Ever heard of Rip Taylor?
Rip Taylor? Are you people putting me on?
David, Rip Taylor is a Las Vegas comic. Very, very famous.
Well, I don't know anything about Rip Torn. That's a joke. I refuse to believe there's a guy named Rip Torn. I refuse it.
He's a famous actor, a very good actor. He's been around a long time. He's been nominated for Academy Awards. He's been in a lot of great movies. Rip Torn.
Oh, bull crap. Rip Torn.
That's his name. I got a great idea for you, okay? Look it up on IMDb.
I'm driving right now. Do you mind? I happen to be driving right now.
Then why do I hear the sound of a convention behind you?
I'm sitting in a car at the car show at... Boy, you really... Hey, Daffy.
You're sitting... So you're driving, huh?
I'm imagining myself... I'm at the car show. I'm imagining myself driving. Do you mind? Do you mind if I have that little fantasy?
No, not at all, but just don't tell me you're driving when you're sitting in the car.
I'm imagining, Daphne, honey, look up IMDb Rip Torn, okay?
That is
all the people. It's going to be a while, okay? Because she's eating. And don't make any jokes, Henry. Don't make any jokes.
Okay, she's eating.
What did I tell you?
I didn't make any jokes.
She'll look it up when she's done eating. What do you... Cheese chili fries. All right, so Rip... Roby, the Rip Roby Memorial Conservative Talk Show Forum is going to be held at the Duclay next month in downtown Los Angeles. All right? You know where that is? You know where that is, don't you?
Yeah, it's in downtown Los Angeles.
No, what did I say? Downtown? It's in Hollywood.
At the Duclay in Hollywood?
Yes.
I think that's West Hollywood.
Yeah. Now, this is going to be a very, very nice event. I got you invited to speak before the Rick Roby, or the Rick Robbie, I don't know what his name is. It's not Rick Roby, it's Rip Roby. There is a Rick Roby.
There's a Rick Roby that was on the air in Miami that I heard years ago, and you can't possibly be talking about him.
No, I'm talking about Rip.
Rip?
Yes, Rip Roby. Anyway, the Rip Roby Conservative Talk Show Forum is going to be held next month at the Duclay in downtown Hollywood. I said downtown L.A.
Where's downtown Hollywood?
Wherever, what do you mean, wherever downtown Hollywood is? Where's downtown, Margaret?
Well, there's no downtown Hollywood, David, per se. There's the Sunset Strip.
Is that downtown?
David,
is it downtown or isn't it?
No, it ain't down. Hollywood's not a down. It's not. It's a district of L.A. It's not a town.
Get a load of him. Now you're telling me first there's Rip Torn, and now you're telling me Hollywood's not a town.
It's not a town. It's a district of the city of Los Angeles.
I know that. I'm asking you where downtown Hollywood is.
There ain't no downtown Hollywood.
The closest thing we have is the Sunset Strip, West Hollywood, something like that.
All right. Well, I think it's in, it's not in the gay. I'm nothing against the gays.
West Hollywood is a town. West Hollywood's its own town.
What are you talking about? You know, Phil, for 5 cents...
I can't take talking to him any longer. You know, it's all I can do just to keep going here. Margaret Gray is going to be joining us. She's joined us right now.
Well, if you hadn't started sounding off like a madman about the health care plan...
Yeah, you lost a lot of friends there, Phil.
I apologize, folks. I'm sorry, you know.
Well, that's why David was calling in.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have gotten all upset. All right, no, we're going to talk about the Lumineers?
Yes, I want people to hear a song, a beautiful song by a wonderful group that has been turned into a commercial pitch for some, I don't know what, but it makes me ill. It really makes me want to just... what are the words that you use, Phil? It makes me want to chirp up, I think, is the thing you've often said. Because what this is, it is, for me, one of the things that I... Why did you do that?
Because we got to get going, all right? We can do it.
That was absolutely the...
Right, thank you, Margaret. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show, The Lumineers and the song A Stubborn Love, I think is what we're talking about, and we'll talk about that when we come back on a world-famous Phil Hendry show. Famous Phil Hendry show. The older I get, man, it don't get better. I remember talking to a guy once. He said, "The older I get, the more radical I get." That's me. The older I get, the more radical I get. The crazier I get. I don't get more settled down. I ain't getting more peaceful. I'm not getting more chill. I'm getting more and more ready to set fire to something. I'm serious, and I say that figuratively. I don't mean, you know.
You don't mean you're really gonna set fire to something.
No, I don't mean I'm really gonna set fire to something. But I've got, you know, less and less tolerance. You know, the older you get, there's a couple of cool things that happen. Not a lot of cool things, but a few. One of them is, you know, dying. Well, I don't give a damn. You know, you're all, that's going to happen soon. So, okay. That's like completely, you're not even afraid of that. The other thing is, you know, it ain't like I want things to be all weirded out. You know, it's not like I want to cause problems, but your eyes are open to so many things. You all of a sudden, it's just the bull crap gets so clear, man. And it's so evident in a lot of ways what people are doing. I'm not trying to say, let's do something radically weird. You know, I'm saying this is the process that we went through. This is the process. It is a logical step toward attempting to do something. You cannot deny that there's a problem. There's a lot of money that's being spent on health care. And no, if you had 5 cents worth of education and brains, you'd recognize that it's not all because of Mexicans. You cannot possibly be a literate human being with an ability to vote, an ability to walk around upright, and eat with something other than your hands, and think that it's all because of Mexicans. If you do, then you need to have your, you know, membership card in the upright Homo sapien branch of the hominid species revoked. Go back to walking around on your knuckles. That's number one. If you think it's because of lack of tort reform, that also means you don't know how to add. Add. Not multiply, not divide. Just add. If you think it's because of, you know, across state lines insurance sales, then you can't add that either, man. Now, if you want to do the math, And that's what most people don't want to do, because math is difficult. You will find that the uninsured people in this country are costing us trillions of dollars a year. Trillions of dollars a year. That's not the Democrats' number. That's not the Republicans' number. That's every objective number you want to look at. And I'm a radical because I'm saying, gee, let's, President Obama has this plan. It's got, and I actually agree with it, but forget about whether I agree with it or not. It was passed into law, and it was, and as he said many, many times, by both houses of the Congress, and all of a sudden, what is wrong? Well, it's the, you know, like everything in the history of the human race, it's not won without some very hard fighting, especially when you're talking about defeating the forces of dumb. The forces of dumb are everywhere. They're loud. They're, you know, stubborn. They are childish. They will do everything and anything to get their way. They throw their feces around the room against the wall from their diaper. They bang on garbage can lids. They just don't want things. They don't want things to change. They want things to be different. And it's got to be the easy answers, the answers that Grandpa gave them. The Mexicans are causing all the problems. Why, it's more government spending. More government spending. Okay, forget about government spending. Let's talk about what it costs you and what it costs me. You talk about insurance, sports fans. What it costs each and every one of us when an uninsured person needs to be treated medically in this country. The trillions and the trillions and the trillions and the trillions of dollars that just goes into the actual idea of health care in this country. Nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about more government spending. Oh, I see. Well, okay, thank you very much, man. No more government spending. We'll just go ahead and keep loading it on your back, Phil. Do you mind? Because I got insurance. I don't have public insurance, man. I don't have Obamacare. I don't need Obamacare. I have insurance through my union. Well, that's something else people got a problem with. Unions. But I got not one plan. I got two. I got health insurance, and I got a backup health insurance plan. Why? Because I earn money every year through my union that goes into that. But my insurance money goes up. Forget about Obamacare. My insurance costs were going up because of all the other problems we were having long before Barack Obama ever came on the scene, man. The crime that that president committed was he decided to get America involved in the discussion of national health care again, which is like, basically, it's like feeding a child castor oil. In this country, it's like feeding a child really bad medicine, because we just spit it out and we whine and we cry and we jump up and down and we come across with all the same old stupid-ass, you know, excuses why we can't have it. I mean, I realize I'm, you know...
Yep, here you go again.
And I was going to talk about the Luminaires.
All right, fine, we'll talk about the Luminaires. You know.
Well, not, you don't be a big baby about it.
Get David on the phone.
Don't get David on the phone.
Get David on the phone, because I'm not going to be the cause of this calamity here tonight.
It's not a calamity. I'm giving an opinion, all right? There's nothing wrong with me giving an opinion. And it's an opinion that needs to be given out, okay? If I may use the English language properly. It's an opinion that must, it needs to be given. Yeah, David?
You know, you can have any opinion you want, but I'm just telling you that the Rip Roby Award is not...
Okay, that's a but. Are you happy?
Well, you hung up on him.
Of course I did. He's going to start in on the Rip Roby Award. I ain't going to talk to that guy about Rip Roby. Okay, so let's listen now, Margaret, and then, of course, we will have... I think Vernon Dozier is going to join us, but let's listen now to what it was you were talking about. This is an act, a group called the Lumineers, and here is their song... and this is a song that is being used commercially by, I think it's Willow, which is a real estate company.
I don't know, and I don't care. It's a lovely song, and it has been commercially co-opted. I think the band made a very big mistake. Here it is. Listen to this song. Do-do-do-do. This is a lovely song, and yet now I hear it on television... Why is it that artists are gang-raped like this, Phil? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Excuse me. Why do artists allow themselves to be set upon in the yard, you know?
Jesus.
Talk about gang-raped.
Lying, stealing, she.
Yeah, okay, so this song is on the is on television.
Yes, and he goes, yeah, hey, oh, oh. You know the song?
Yeah, I thought I did, but...
Yeah, you butchered that alive.
She'll tear a hole. That's what I say about that. Are you happy?
No, I'm not happy. You can't
repay. Then don't give me a hard time.
But I still love her, I don't read.
Now, there have been a lot of songs, Phil, down through the years that have been turned into garbage by a variety of different companies. George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue, or Rhapsody in Blue. Do, 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 do. Would you turn this garbage off, please?
I thought you liked it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean garbage, but just get it out of here. All right. Do you remember...
Wait a minute. Bud made a good point. I thought you liked that song.
It's a lovely song. I'm trying to move on now. That's all.
Well, you called it garbage.
No, it's a lovely song. Okay, there. You happy?
Yeah, all right.
Now, do you remember George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue?
Yes, I remember Rhapsody in Blue.
But it's called Rhapsody.
No, it ain't called Rhapsody. Or is that the French?
Yes, it's the French.
All right.
Do 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 do. You know that song?
Yeah, I know that song.
All right, that was George Gershwin's classic masterpiece. It was a piece of American classical music, if you will, and that song was taken and gang raped by United Airlines. Now, the next song.
Wait, Margaret, you can't slap on. You can't say that, all right? Because that's just not right. It's not right to say the song was taken and gang-raped. The song passed into the public domain. It became fair game, and that's what happens in our country.
Well, I think some of the copyrights should be respected longer. I don't know. Maybe it takes a law change. But I think with a beautiful song like Rhapsody, or the Rhapsody, is taken and is manhandled and passed around a campfire by the bikers of American eminent domain, when the virgin of beautiful American music is passed among the motorcycle gang members of eminent and public domain, and is raped by the monster of greed, I think something needs to be done, and needs to be done now. Now, I am Margaret Gray, and I ask all of you to join me.
In what?
I don't know. But there... I don't know.
Write you a letter?
No, don't write me a letter.
Well, then, what should they join you in?
I don't know, but I want you to join me in my effort to make these... Another one, Phil. Good Vibrations was taken by Minute Maid Orange Juice and was turned into Minute Maid's personal yard bitch. You're laughing at that?
Well, yeah, sort of. All right, so Good Vibrations was taken by Minute Maid Orange Juice and turned into it. And I don't remember that.
Yes, you do. I love the bit. I'm picking up Minute Maid Vibrations. I've got the orange juice, grew, whatever it was. You mentioned Our House by Graham Nash. Yes, I know Graham Nash willingly sold the rights to that song so that his kids could go to college. Big wow. But what you don't know is that song was purchased by a real estate company, and every time I hear it now, I literally feel I regurgitate. I can taste blood in the back of my throat. That's what I'm throwing up.
Okay, well, I mean, how's Graham Nash feel about it?
I could care less.
Yeah, well, that's what... All right, we'll be right back with more of this world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, yeah, sure. George Gershwin, do-do-do-do-do-no.
Yeah, I know. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And don't forget, on Saturday at 4 o'clock, we're at the L.A. Podfest. The L.A. Podfest, Bobby Dooley. And I'll be accompanying Bobby Dooley as she interviews the founder of the L.A. Podfest, Graham Elwood. And that'll be 4 o'clock on Saturday, 4 until 5:30. Join us over there. You can pick up tickets at the L.A. Podfest website if you are in the... I guess you have to be in the L.A. area, yeah?
Yeah, got to be in L.A. What about people listening if not in L.A.?
Well, if they're not in L.A., they're not in L.A. There's nobody listening to us in L.A., is there? Well, yes, there are. There's somebody. Somebody somewhere is listening to us in some place that ain't L.A., and if you're not here, well, never mind.
Well, if you're here, then you can go and see and all that.
Yes. Vernon Dozier is joining us from Belmar Academy, actually from the city of Glendale, California. Turn that off, bud. I can't, I don't, I wouldn't dream of having Linkin Park befouled in this manner.
What about Linkin Park befouling you?
Linkin Park is fine. I just don't need their music right now. Thank you, guys, but I don't need you right now. Just go away. So we have Vernon Dozier joining us here from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. And Vernon, it's good to be... Are you driving home right now?
I'm driving home now, Phil. I just got done. Grading some papers and so forth.
All right, so the government shutdown has affected, in some ways, people. Perhaps it was unanticipated. I know that you support... the actions of the congressional, that percentage of the Congress, of the House of Representatives, that decided to allow this bill to sort of just founder rather than fund the government and thus have the government be shut down. You were in favor of that, but one program that you were relying on has also been shut down because of the funding.
That is true, and that was not something I'd thought of or anticipated. So that one's on me. But as I said to you earlier, the fact is, it's a very important program. And just to, if I could, I want to, I sort of want to, like when the roof is leaking, you want to put some grout in there and put some cement in there and try to stop some of the water from getting in. I want to just go back and reclaim some territory from our earlier discussion. Number one, people were saying, oh, you're dysfunctional sexually. No, I'm not. I have a powerful, as the doctor told me, and as I have also told myself, and my wife has backed me up. She's here again to back up what I'm saying. I got a very powerful sex ability, and it's so strong that Viagra just quits on me. It won't even go there, because now I know it sounds like Viagra has a brain of its own. I'm not saying that it does.
What does it mean that Viagra quits on you?
Well, what it means is my sex drive is so good and healthy that it's trying to be what it is, and all it needs is assistance from the right drug.
Well, are you? I know you say you're not dysfunctional, so you're able to engage in relations?
No, I'm not. But that's not the dysfunction that you are ordinarily think about. When you think about a guy that's dysfunctional, he's not anything to write home about. I am, in a way. I realize it sounds egotistical, but my wife's here to back me up. Is that right? Honey, don't turn the TV down. What, I'm talking on the radio. I'll get her over here in a minute. I'm saying that I need the right drug. Viagra is very weak, and it's scared. It's not scared, because it's a drug. It's not a person, but it acts like it's frightened by my power, my sex power. Okay, so it just quits and runs. It in a way, it's like saying, it cuts its losses and runs off.
It's a drug. It's not a person, but you're talking about it like it's a person. I don't know what that represents biochemically, to say it cuts its losses and runs.
Well, what I'm saying is, it ain't no good for what I bring to the party. Viagra ain't even gonna get it. Just forget it. So I need something even bigger and bad. And that's what they're working on. That's what Dr. Teeling told me they was working on in this program. A new drug that would handle the sex power of a guy like me. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention was on the Phil TV that you have operating there, one of my friends has a subscription to your website, and he was looking in. And obviously, he can see what y'all are doing in the studio, right?
Yeah.
And he said he saw this gentleman, Mr. Dickman, when I was talking about my sex power, laughing or otherwise ducking his head and sticking his face.
I'm not laughing at you.
Hold on, because this is a man I respect and love very much. He's a very dear friend of mine for many years, and I've confided in him the problems that I've had, you know, getting going and everything like that. And he said he saw you, Mr. Dickman, burying your face in your armpit and going, ha, 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 or, I don't know.
How do you know he was laughing?
Because he said he saw Mr. Dickman's shoulders going, you know, up and down like they do.
No, sir, I wasn't laughing. I laughed only one time when you said about your sex power.
What's so funny about that?
May I just jump in here, Vernon? It's Margaret Gray.
Go ahead.
I don't think that's the right place to be focusing your misgivings or your protests. I think the right place to focus those would be with the Republicans that shut the government down, because this program is very important to you. Now, I'm willing to believe that these are things that you need. I don't know about this program. You're saying that you have sex power that needs the assistance of a drug, not Viagra, but something like it.
Well, something much more powerful than Viagra.
All right. Because you are aroused by your wife?
I most certainly am. My wife is 22 years of age, okay? And I can handle everything she needs, you know, that she's bringing. I can handle it, you know, because of the sex power that I have. But I need to get it going. You know, I need to get the ignition. And the Dr. Teeling told me it was like I just needed the right key for the ignition to turn the engine over, you know?
Okay.
And so when I was talking, and my friend Jack Geiser, who's watching in on this Phil TV that you have, he said that you all was respectful, but this Dickman was laughing into his armpit.
What do you mean laughing into? What were you doing, bud?
I wasn't doing anything. Maybe I was wiping my nose off.
Well, no. He said you weren't wiping your nose off. He said, how long does it take you to wipe your nose off?
What do you mean?
Well, he said your nose was buried in your pit for minutes at a time, and your shoulders were shaking.
I might have been rubbing something off of it.
Well, Mr. Dickman, excuse me, I don't mean to be, whatever you may be rubbing off your nose, you probably picked it up on the hind end of Mr. Hendry. And
okay, we don't need that.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
No, we don't need that kind of conversation. If Mr. Dickman says that he was rubbing something off of his nose...
Well, I'm sure that he was, and I'm sure that it was brown, and I'm sure...
Okay, we don't need to... Why are you insulting me? I mean,
I'm not trying to insult you. It's Mr. Dickman that I think needs to be talked to, and...
Bud, give me the honest truth. Were you laughing?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, there you go. That's a yes.
It's not necessarily a yes, but I see where you're going. Were you laughing?
I don't think I was. Maybe I was.
So you weren't wiping your nose off?
Yes, I was wiping my nose off, yeah.
Why?
Because I had a small amount of stuff on the end of it.
Was it brown?
It might have been.
Well, it wasn't from me.
No, it might have been Mr. Hall, but I don't know.
Yeah, right there. See, I knew the guy. He was wiping something off the end of it. I'll bet you were, pal. Well, it goes to show you. See, I called that one with a blindfold on. I saw that coming weeks away, even before I even knew that I was going to be on your show. I knew there'd be some guy wiping brown off his nose. I just knew it.
Okay, we're talking with Vernon Dozier here on the Phil Hendry Show about the shutdown of a government research program that would make available to gentlemen such as Mr. Dozier a new powerful form of a drug that treats... you say you're not dysfunctional. What would you say it treats?
I think it treats any man like me that has a powerful sex power that you can't... You have such sex power that it just runs Viagra off, and you need a drug that can face up to it.
But you're not dysfunctional.
No, sir, I'm not.
Well, are you able to have relations with your wife?
I can't have relations with my wife. I just got done telling you my power.
See, this is why we're confused. You're...
But Mr. Hendry, the more you want me to talk about it, the more of an ass I sound. Look, my wife is nodding her head. Why are you nodding your head? She's saying to me, Amber's telling me to tell you to just accept my word for it that my sex power...
Your sex power, I'm willing to accept, Mr. Dozier, but I don't know how the sex power... You're not dysfunctional, and yet you can't make love to your wife.
No, I cannot make love to my wife. How many times am I going to have to say that and put myself through the humiliation of saying it and have to make people understand that even though I can't have sex, or at least I can't have normal relations with my wife, that I'm not dysfunctional?
What do you mean, normal relations?
I mean normal relations.
Well, are you able to have any kind of relations with her?
Yes, I can have... what I call exotic or abnormal or very disturbing kinds of relations with her.
Well, what does that mean?
Mr. Henry, pretty soon I'm going to start charging you money for this stuff.
Okay, hold on. That's really interesting. He can't
have normal relations, but he can have disturbing relations with his wife.
Okay, we'll talk to him.
See what I mean?
No, I don't see what you mean. If you were laughing, you were laughing. All right, we're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are talking to Vernon Dozier, and he is discussing with us a kind of a dysfunction. I shouldn't call it that, but that's what it sounds like to me, that he has. The research of this dysfunction has been shut down because of the government shutdown, so there's no funding for this. And as a supporter of the Tea Party, Mr. Dozier finds himself in the very uncomfortable position of supporting the Tea Party, but at the same time, being hurt by this government shutdown. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back. Hey, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Every night here till 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And we would remind you to get a backstage pass to be a part of our phenomenal online experience. We have a video cast that we present to you each and every night. We have thousands and thousands of hours of online audio, 5,000 hours of online audio, as a matter of fact, of full radio shows. A video cast each and every night of this show. We have our weekly game of the week, our pro football game of the week, and other weekend events. And who knows, man? We've got another podcast that we're planning. Actually, we've already got the Bobby Dooley podcast, which we're rolling out at the PodFest on Saturday, but we are thinking of turning that into a daily free podcast. It all depends on Ms. Dooley's availability.
Well, if she's not available, I'd be more than happy. I mean, I don't do... these podcasts, I could care less, but if you need some bailing out there...
Well, no, I don't think we do, but you never know.
Yeah, well, with her, yeah, you do, you're right.
Well, we'll have Bobby on later in the week to talk about that, because I don't want to get into a big, heavy thing right now. On the line, what are you looking at?
What do you mean, big, heavy thing?
Didn't want to get in a big argument.
But out of this, I'm talking to your boss here. What do you mean, a big, heavy thing?
I don't want to have you and her... sniping at each other right about now. I'll deal with that later on in the week, if that's okay with you. All right?
Fine.
All right. Vernon Dozier joining us here from Belmar Academy. All right, Vernon, and we're going to take some phone calls. Our number, 855-500-7445. Where did we leave off? So you are upset with the shutdown of this government research program, but nonetheless, this has been the result of your friends there in Congress... getting rid of this program.
Look, Phil, last night I spoke to you. We had, and I've been driving over here to LAX. We are looking at members of our constituency and our group, people that are flying off here and flying around the country to talk to individuals about getting sex start or sex power back. Going, you have it go better. And there goes Jim Dugan and his wife.
Wait a minute. Last night you saw these people taking off in private jets to encourage the shutdown of government.
Yeah, well, they did, and now they're taking off to try to get sex power back up and running.
What is sex power?
Sex power, is this the program?
Yes, this is the program that's developing a drug for guys like me that got a powerful sex drive that frightens Viagra. I don't know how many times I got to say it.
Well, look, you're not explaining it very well when you say that Viagra gets frightened. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Ender. If you don't, I've had countless cards and letters that are pouring in every day from men around the country telling me that they have a powerful drive and they could have sex with their wife all day, every day. And it's so powerful that the Viagra they take just, it doesn't work. So, I mean, I know you think that, you know, see.
Well, all right. Let's go to a phone call here. Jeff, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier as we continue discussing this, the research program called Sex Power.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, how are you doing? Mr. Dozier, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I'm a part-time professor of mechanical physics at Caltech University. The sex power that you're right now talking about, I'm not a medical doctor, but I am familiar with mechanical physics, and you're talking about a basic physiologic effort on a part of the body to create a structure that it will facilitate the sex that you have so indicated. Now, we've done any number of experiments with balloons, and one of the more successful experiments that we've done, Mr. Henry, is with a water-filled balloons, and believe it or not, balloon animal. What is that?
We're just saying goodbye to, there goes Charlie Houghton. They're flying off to try to get sex power going.
I don't understand about this. Are they flying off in private jets to go talk about a sex power?
Yes, they're flying back to Washington, D.C. to get funding for sex power.
And sex power is what?
I've been talking about sex power. Is the government program.
It's a government program that's developing a drug for guys like Vernon who have a powerful sex drive and Viagra doesn't work.
Well, I mean, that sounds to me like you're... I'm sorry, it sounds to me like you're dysfunctional.
I am not dysfunctional, and I would very much ask you to shut up and not say that. And I don't mean to say shut up. I apologize.
Yeah, let's keep this respectful.
All right, but please don't say that I'm dysfunctional.
Yeah, but if you are not allowed to have sex with your wife because the penis is not letting it happen, you know.
It's not got nothing to do with me being allowed. Are you a doctor?
What do you mean allowed?
Well, I shouldn't say allowed, but the penis is not... There's two, you know, there's a lot of people at work here. You've got the penis, you got you, the Viagra, the three of you got to get together, man. I mean...
You know what? I understand that, sir. I understand that.
Okay, so you understand. All right. So what I'm saying is basically this.
What has that got to do with mechanical physics?
Because we have done experiments at Caltech with mechanical physics. We've used balloon animals, and we've used water balloons. We've used forms of pasta, particularly one of linguine. And,
well, what is the purpose of balloon animals? What is that?
Well, they approximate the balloon animal, the water balloon, as well as linguine and some of these bosses approximate the tensile strength of a man in the aroused state, or of a man who is having this sex power dysfunction, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I don't know what to say.
I said to you, I'm not dysfunctional.
Okay, that's fine, but the work that we're doing with balloon animals and linguine, you know, partially cooked linguine.
Okay, see, I find that offensive, Mr. Henry, that this guy is at a university, probably a state-funded university, okay?
Well, partially.
Okay, and they're doing experiments, in other words, they got Vernon Dozier in mind when they got a balloon animal. And is there air in the balloon?
Unfortunately, no, sir. It's partially let out.
Okay, so you've got a limp balloon animal, and that's me.
I don't know how else we can do the experiment.
What experiment are you doing, man? I mean, who commissioned this from Caltech to test the ability of a man to perform sexually?
This was a variety. It was a consortium of doctors. Who felt that the best hope that men who fail to achieve was some kind of a partially inflated balloon, and we've been I've bought you wouldn't even begin to understand the hobby stores and the toy stores wherever balloons are sold, and we've gone
Well, Mr. Henry,
we're going to have to table this for another time, guys, because we're out of time. We'll talk to you tomorrow night about perhaps some other marvelous aspect of this discussion having to do with, quote, sex power. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thanks, Matt. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you, Bud. Thank you, Robert. Thank all of our guests here this evening. We appreciate it. Join us at the PodFest on Saturday. It is Ted and Steve with the Game of the Week on Sunday here on Phil TV.